And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to the second hour of Marriage Beyond the Vows, where we are talking about beyond the affair. We are inviting you to call in if you're going through that situation and you're looking for some guidance, if you've been through the situation and you have a testimony, and also to answer the question, can you forgive the affair? Reach out to us, 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644. A lot of people not able to call but would like to post their comments on Facebook. You can always do that by finding our page, liking it, and then going ahead and posting what you need to say. A lot of people have done that already. Marcos, what are folks saying on the book?
Okay. Well, again, we thank you for joining us on Facebook. And San Pri has a little comment there, but it's more of a plea. Where she's saying, if you're listening to the show and you have cheated or are thinking about cheating, stop and think about your spouse if you truly love them. The damage can be devastating to that person's self-esteem, his or her health. You question yourself and everything you ever knew to be right. Your world is torn. That person will struggle with anxiety and trust issues for a very long time. If you are unhappy, say it before you do something foolish and destroy your union. God cannot fully reveal his glory if you're looking outside your marriage for validation that you are special. Please don't do it. It is almost like experiencing a death when you realize that the person you love has hurt you in this way. So this is just a plea for San Pri, and we appreciate that. It sounds like you're speaking from personal experience, and you're asking, you know, please, whatever you do, by any means necessary, do not go outside of your marriage. Then, you know, a few days ago or earlier last week, we posted the question about having to deal with beyond the affair, having to heal after the infidelity. And so Teresa says, this ought to be good. We can't wait. So here we are. We're talking about this. Renata says, I love the show. I'm single, but this show helps me when I'm it's time for me to become married. I'm learning what to do and what not to do. Such a blessing. And then Deidre Drake says, amen. So glad you talk about everything. Sometimes people don't touch on these things, but it's so many people in the body of Christ that need to hear this and all the things you talk about on your show. Continue to do what you're doing. Be blessed. And so we have so much more that is posted on Facebook, including a question that we just posted. If your spouse slept with someone else and you asked them why, what would the response be? What are the reasons for committing infidelity, for committing adultery? What are the reasons? You know, it sounds like you might say, well, there is no reason. Well, no, there are always reasons. That doesn't mean they're excuses or they're okay, but there are reasons why people go outside of their marriage. And usually it has to do with selfishness, has to do with hurt. It has to do with wanting to feel validated, like we have, you know, someone posted there earlier on Facebook. We want to go ahead and go right back to our phone lines.
Absolutely. I believe we have Sharon on line four. Let's speak with Sharon. Good morning, Sharon. You're live on the air.
Hi, how are you?
All right. Thanks for calling. What's your comment?
I was listening to the show this morning as I was driving, and the gentleman was asking, could you forgive your partner if they were cheating? I could say I could forgive them, but I wouldn't stay with them.
Okay.
Because I've already been in that situation, and it was just constantly. And one woman after another, either calling, knocking at our windows. It was just too much.
Knocking on the window?
Yeah, and one of them knocked on the bedroom window, one knocked on the living room window, and we lived in an apartment. But they knew exactly what windows to knock on.
Wow, that's pretty intense. And by the way, Sharon, my name is Marcos Mercado. I'm the host of the show. And
Hi.
We are talking about, you know, these issues because they're real and they're very touching for a lot of people in a negative way. You know, there's a lot of pain out there. But I guess I just want to pause for a minute and just talk about that. I mean, these are women in the neighborhood, I guess, that would come by.
There were women that he dated that I don't know where they came from. Because my understanding was we had done a lot of talking, and he said he had never been married before. He didn't have any children. This was my first time getting married at the age of 45.
Wow.
And that was in 2008. And he just seemed really, in 2 or 3 weeks, he seemed like he didn't want to talk. And I said, well, what is wrong? I kept asking him what was wrong. He would never say. So I started doing some investigation. I found out he had been married before and that he had committed adultery then. He had also produced a child out of that marriage. I mean, it was just like one spiral thing after another. And when you say that, do you look at yourself to see if it's something you did wrong? No, it wasn't anything I did wrong.
Okay.
I think that people, it depends on what the person has and what his intention is when they want to marry you.
Absolutely. So Sharon, so you had no clue that he had been married before?
I had no clue that he had never, that he had been married before. He had nothing. He was able to, he had been masking himself for the last 20 years. Even some of his friends that knew him a whole lot longer than I did didn't even know he had children or even that he even dated a woman before.
Wow. All right, Sharon. Well, I tell you this much. It sounds like you did the right thing by moving on, because if you would have stayed in that situation, it sounds like that was complete insanity and it would have been devastating for you.
It was very devastating because I also had a son of, you know, I had my own son. I hadn't been married before, but I still had a son. I concentrated mostly on my job and raising my son. So when he got up to me, I said, oh, okay, well, maybe I can think about getting married, you know. And, you know, and he knew how I felt about marriage, being married only one time. That has been difficult to deal with, the fact that I do have to face a divorce and all, you know, all the women plus the woman at his job. I mean, it was just one thing after another. I did forgive and try to work it out. But when I see if somebody cheats and they tell me that they cheated before, I won't even deal with you.
Yes, yes, it, okay.
You know, it, to me, it doesn't even make any sense to go through it, because at some point, they will do it again. That's how I look at it, because I guess because it's happened to me so much.
Sure, sure. You know, and that's understandable, and, Sharon. And we want to say, you know, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And, you know, even how insane it was, but we are mm-hmm. glad that you are out of that situation.
Yeah.
Amen, Sharon. Thank you.
All right. Okay, bye-bye.
Be blessed.
Let's go to our anonymous caller on line 3 with a comment. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air. Caller, good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing?
All right. We're good. We're good. Thanks for calling. What's your comment?
Yes, I want to make a comment. First of all, I want to say thank you guys for the show. And I thank you for being open, because it's a blessing and a lesson. Mm. Comment I want to make was I appreciate what Marcos had said when he was talking earlier when it comes down to godly sorry versus worldly sorry. Because a lot of times people are not aware of the difference, and they basically kind of move out on their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I had went through that experience, and the beautiful part about it is I live, learn, and now I know that the best is still yet to come. My ex stepped out on me,
okay. And
she, after a little while, she admitted it, which I knew when she did it, but then she admitted it, and I forgave her. What surprised me, and I had to accept it, is not only did I forgive her, but she said to me, okay, I appreciate you forgiving me, but who is to say I'm not going to do it again?
Mm.
And she said that. That's when I said, well, there's nothing else for me to do but to let it go.
Yes.
Because once I talked to the lawyer, he was like, well, this is how the thing works. If you want to, like they say, share it and become an uncle, then you stay in there with it. He said, but otherwise than that, that's
a good, that's a good observation, and we do appreciate that, brother, because that is a sign, a clear sign of worldly sorrow. Because how do you know you can't do it again? You don't. You know, you. I'm not saying you don't know. You know, you. It's a decision. It's repentance. That's like I had a guy in the neighborhood growing up who tried to kill someone. Literally, he attempted murder. He didn't succeed, but. And he was in jail for a long time. But every time he was up for parole, this guy was a little bit off mentally, let's just say, to say the least. And so he would go to the parole board and they said, so if you had an opportunity and someone attacked you, would you try to kill them again? And he would say, yes. And so every time they would deny parole. And this guy did like 20 years. because he would not get his act together. The sad thing is he was honest enough to share where he was. So there was no way they can responsibly let him out into society. In the same way, if your spouse is honest enough to say, I can't really be faithful, then you have to make that decision and say, I don't know if I can live with this. Mm-hmm. You know, I cannot live with an unfaithful or the uncertainty that you feel like it might be okay or you might slip up. That's not a slip up. Mm-hmm. That is a deliberate decision to go outside of the marriage. So I think that's an amazing observation you made. And I do commend you for having the conviction to say, I'm sorry, but we can't live like this. I was willing to forgive you, but only if you decide that you'll never do this again.
Mm. Yes, and that's why I say, I call it the GW factor, godly sorrow versus worldly sorrow. And when I actually went through the process, you know, when it came down to filing the papers, that's when she was like, now, okay, let's try to do this again. And I was like, but you know in your heart, you're not truly ready to truly repent.
That's so true. And so we do thank you for sharing that with us, especially the point about there has to be godly sorrow. You be blessed. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Don't you dare touch that dial. We're going to come back with the final segment of today's program on Beyond the Affair. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We return with more conversation after this.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039 and get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to our final segment for today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're talking about Beyond the Affair. Are you able to forgive the affair? Let's talk about it. Are you in the midst of dealing with the situation? We have a few more minutes left in the program. You can give Marcos a call and he can help guide you through this particular storm. 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644. We have Deborah calling in on line 5 with a comment. Deborah, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming.
I have a real problem, and I don't, it's more of a comment than a question. After 11 years of my husband and I being married, we were going through a bad patch, and he announced to me that he was leaving me to go back to his ex because she was ill and he needed to nurse her back to health. Well, okay. It was hard. It was really hard for me. For him, he kept going back and forth between the two of us, and we were not intimate at that time. But when she died, he came home, and I welcomed him with open arms. And because of that, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. He gave me a deadly disease. He gave me HIV.
Wow.
And I think I forgave him for leaving me. I'm not sure, but I know that I resent him for giving me this disease. And I don't know, I've stopped being intimate with him because it repulses me. And I don't know how to be intimate with him again. I know the Bible says it's okay to be separate for a while, but that we should come back together as husband and wife, and I don't know how to do that.
Okay. Well, Deborah, a few things here. First of all, we appreciate your transparency and sharing this with us. I want a little clarity here. So when he decided to go back to his ex, you said he was going back and forth for a while?
Yes, yes.
And why did you agree to that at that moment?
I love him. I've always loved him, even before we were married and became friends. You know, we were friends for a long time, and I love him.
Okay,
as
but love, I mean, we love people all the time. Love is not the reason why we take someone back. You can love someone, and you can decide that they're not good for you. Like, God loves us, but he allows, you know, our sin separates us from him. He allows us to go our separate way because I think that the confusing part here, Deborah, is that you need to have boundaries in your relationship. And when you didn't have that, it basically, what it does, it devalues who you are, who God created you to be. You know, there was a covenant, there was an agreement that you made as a husband and wife to be faithful to each other, to be by your side, not with the ex. Now, was this an ex-girlfriend, an ex-wife?
An ex-girlfriend.
Okay, yeah. So this was not ever, not even his wife ever, and he left you to be with her. Now, I think that that was the first sign of, okay, something's seriously wrong, not just with him, but even with your own conviction and you putting up with this. Okay, now let's fast forward. You know, that happened. You said she passed. He came back home. You took him, and now there's a consequence. He, you know, you contracted HIV, you believe, through him, obviously, because you've been faithful. Now, the point now where you stand is you can't change the past. We always want to, but we can't. Moving forward, if you love your husband, you believe he's changed and he's going to be faithful, then you must forgive. Because if you don't forgive and you try to stay in that marriage, you're setting him up to lose. You're setting him up to go out there and commit this over and over again. And so what I want to encourage you with is there's a passage in Matthew 18 that, that it's actually really challenging. And a lot of times we don't understand it, but it simply reads in verse 21. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And in some other translations, it also reads 70 times seven. Meaning that forgiveness is an ongoing thing. And one of the problems and something I've learned about forgiveness is that forgiveness is not just once. You can forgive in your heart, but you're going to have to, with something like this, contracting AIDS, HIV, you know, something that it's altering your entire life, the quality of your life. You know, you're going to be reminded of this constantly.
Yes, every day when I have to take that medication.
Exactly. And that's what would happen. But you're going to have to make a decision every day that you are forgiving him, that you have forgiven and that you will continue to forgive. And it might sound like you, this is a traumatic experience for you. You might need some therapy to be able to heal from the emotional damage and realizing that some of this, okay, it's on him, but some of this you allowed as well into your marriage. And so the both of you need some reconciliation and healing. And that would be my encouragement to you. But you cannot go on having this marriage, and then you totally have not forgiven him. You haven't. You're still resentful. You're still hurt. You're not fulfilling your marital duty as a wife. You're setting him up to lose all over again.
Also, if I can speak to the HIV portion of what you said, caller, if you do decide, when you do decide to resume marital relations because of the nature of HIV, I would encourage that you all use condoms. And I say that because of the strains of HIV. Your strain would be different from his. So you can, you know, transfer it back and forth, which could affect your medication. So that's the other, that's the other added part of this. You know, even though you are married, the fact that you have something that has its own individual strain in your body, you can then pass it back to him and back and forth, and it could just exacerbate your situation. So that is the other thing you have to take into consideration with this as well.
We know, and you absolutely going to need medical attention for the rest of your life when it comes to this. But right now, and I appreciate that, Tiffany, that's really great for anyone who didn't know that. You need to be aware and make sure that you get, you know, information from your doctor, and that you really get a lot of supervision. But going back to the spiritual aspect, I think that you want to make sure, Deborah, that you deal with this spiritually and realize what is God trying to teach you. Because although this is very traumatic, it's not the end of your life. It's not, it doesn't have to be the end of your marriage.
I agree. And I know that this is not going to kill me because of the medication that they have these days. But how do I bring myself to allow myself to be intimate with my husband once again? Because I feel that I'm being pushed towards it, but I'm holding back.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the Bible does say it's okay to be separate for a while, but that I must come together again. How do I bring myself to do that?
Okay, and I think that's where, Deborah, it takes a lot of prayer, and sometimes you need someone to help you. You might need some therapy, like I said, Because in your mind, it's not just a decision. You can decide, but then in that moment, you're being brought back to those memories. You're being brought back to the pain. And my encouragement to you would be to study out scriptures like Luke 15 about the prodigal son. How can the father just welcome him with open arms, and not just welcome him, but he threw a party for him? And that's only because there's true repentance and forgiveness. And so if there's repentance on your husband's part and you're able to heal through this, it's a process. It will take prayer. It will take sometimes even fasting, but absolutely you need some outside help. Okay?
I do go to therapy, but she's not helping.
So that's the other thing. I tell people all the time, if you're going to a therapist and not helping, go find someone that will, because you need direction and you need to heal from this. You cannot. It's insane to think that you're going to live the rest of your life like this and you're going to expect to have a great marriage. Yeah. It won't work.
Yeah, I didn't think that I resented him, but each passing day I resent him more and more, and the thought of being intimate just repulses me.
Yes, and that's not good, and that needs to change. Yeah. All right. Well, Deborah, we thank you so much. We appreciate your call, and you know, I encourage you, you know, visit my website, callmarcos.com. You can send me a message there, and more information that I can connect you with and help you in any other way if possible.
Okay.
All right, Deborah.
Thank
God bless
you so much for your time.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
We have Deborah on line two with a question. Deborah, good morning. You are live on the air.
Good morning.
All right. Thank you for calling.
What is your question for us, Deborah?
Yes, I have a comment in reference to two people being married and they get a divorce, and the person wind up having an affair. Is that adultery or is nothing? Because they think if they divorce, that is okay, that they can have an affair.
I'm a little bit confused with your question. Maybe you can clarify. Okay, so two people are married separately. They get divorced. Then they remarry someone else?
No. I was married.
Okay.
I divorced. And shortly after, they had an affair, which I thought they had an affair the whole time, but they said after the divorce was final, they had an affair, so they don't consider it adultery.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let me define adultery. Sometimes people think it's just having sex with someone married or while you're married.
Right.
But adultery, the Bible goes even deeper, and we understand from the scriptures, Matthew 5 specifically, and, you know, the Sermon on the Mount. When you join yourself with someone else, anything outside of God's plan for marriage, it's adultery. So in that case, it's still adultery, because it's not adultery necessarily against you, but it's adultery against God, because you're having sex outside of marriage. It's still wrong. It's still sin.
Right.
Now, for you, you felt like there were some reasons and you felt justified to divorce your husband. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And he's saying, okay, nothing happened until afterwards. Well, yes. If he was really sorry and there was nothing going on, then why didn't he try to reconcile his marriage?
Well, that's the same thing I said. But they said, once we were divorced, they didn't commit adultery, and I was the reason for them even having an affair, because I didn't.
Yeah, there's never someone else's reason for having an affair.
I know. That's what I say, too.
So, well, great question. We appreciate you bringing that up, Deborah, and we hope you have a blessed day.
All right. You too. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Let's go to Tiffany on line four with a situation. Tiffany, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello.
Yes, hi. You're live on the air. Good morning.
Hi.
All right.
I just wanted to say, yes, me too. I also dealt with infidelity in my marriage, and actually, as we speak, I'm still dealing with it. My husband also had a baby outside of our marriage, and it made it really hard for me because he has two other children with this woman. So for me, it felt like no matter where we were at, he would still go back.
Okay. So are you reconciled with him, or where are you right now?
Well, it's been 3 years. This child just turned 3 years old, and I'm just meeting the child. I'm trying to come to grips with it, but it's still hard. Right now, we are involved in marriage counseling, and I just realized just our last session this week that I'm constantly questioning, am I good enough?
Okay. Okay, so there are other issues that you're wrestling with yourself. Now, those are individual issues, and you need to understand that whether you feel that you're worthy or good enough or not, you are in the eyes of God. You are the wife. He made a commitment to you, and all that is expected from you is to do your best. There's a reason why he married you. Obviously, he loved you. He wanted to spend the rest of his life with you. Something went wrong. Now, there are things that you can do differently and you can grow, but it's never so bad that you can say that you made him do it. And so,
well,
go ahead.
He says that it had nothing to do with me. He says that it was his own selfish reasons. He just had the opportunity was there, so he took it. It was nothing, you know, ever to do with me. I'm very hardworking. I just graduated from college, so I'm doing everything sexually. Everything is there. He just said it. The opportunity presented himself, and he went with it.
Okay, so he admitted to his mistake. He was stupid. He messed up. Now, how do you rebuild that trust, though? How do you know he's not going to go out there and do it again when there's another opportunity?
That's my problem. That's what I'm fighting with now. And it's like I heard you saying earlier how you forgive too quickly, and I feel that I've forgiven too quickly because this is not the first, you know, time that it's happened. This is the first child that came out of the situation. But it's like I feel like I've never made him pay that consequence. Okay. So I constantly question, is he doing it? Is he going to do it? The people he hangs around are doing it. So is he going to follow along? So it's like it's a never-ending battle for
Tiffany,
me.
Tiffany, I hate to tell you this, but chances are he will because it doesn't sound like he got it. And it's not – I want to go back to something you said. It's not pay the consequences. You know, you don't pay that consequence as much as you live out that consequence because it's a consequence. It's like – he earned it in a sense. And so what happens is you forgiving him too quickly, it's like he can have the best of both worlds. He can live an unfaithful life and you're going to take him back. And so earlier on in the show, this one woman said she was about to get divorced. She had the divorce papers. That's when it hit her husband. And he was like, man, I need to change. I'm about to lose my wife. But the love you need to have, number one, for God, for yourself, and even for your husband, is that you're going to have an uncompromising love. And so what needs to happen is you want to make sure that no matter what happens, that you stand your ground. And your ground needs to be you expect a husband that's faithful.
Okay.
You understand?
Yes.
All right. You expect that. There is no compromising that. There's no, you know, let's discuss this. It's absolutely a must in your marriage. And if that cannot happen, then you cannot have a marriage.
Okay.
All right, Tiffany, we thank you so much for your call.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Victoria calling in on line 3. Victoria, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello, Victoria.
Oh. Yes.
Yes, we're having a hard time hearing you. You have a lot of background noise. It sounded like there's a little one in the background.
Hello.
Yes, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, Victoria, what is your comment for us today?
My comment is first to Deborah. She said she was seeking counsel. I would first advise her to get godly counsel because there is a big difference between the two. And also a comment, me and my husband actually are going through the situation. We both were unfaithful toward each other. Mine was an act of retaliation, which was actually stupid on my part. But through the grace of God and through our godly counsel, we are able to stay together. And even though we're dealing with the untrust issue, if you keep the Lord in the middle of your marriage, he'll strengthen it regardless to what the situation is.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's an excellent comment. What do you think is the lesson that you've learned?
The lesson that I learned is to, I should have went to the Lord first with my issues. I knew that he was being unfaithful, but instead of trying to retaliate, I should have just went to the Lord and asked him to show me how to deal with the situation as opposed to taking it into my own hands.
Okay. Okay. Well, I tell you, Victoria, something that I want to encourage not just you but everyone else out there who's listening is that mm-hmm. there's a will that God has for our life. And that is to have a life, what, that is fulfilling, that is, you know, according to his plan. It's the thief comes, what, to steal, kill, and destroy. God wants to give us a life. He wants to give us a great marriage. Sometimes we want what God is trying to give us, but we're not willing to do or take the road that he's telling us to take in order to get that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Victoria, we thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Thank you. Don't forget to give us a call. We still have a few more minutes left in the program. 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644.
All right, Tiffany. Well, you know, I know there are a lot of people who are hurting right now.
Yeah.
They've been calling in. They've asking for help and direction, even on Facebook. I mean, more and more comments are being posted. Mm-hmm. What to do? I know there's one specific comment that I want to go to. Someone didn't want to literally come on the air, but they want to be able to share this for a moment. So let me just go to that.
All right. And in the meantime, like we mentioned before, we do have a few more moments in the program, so you can call in with your comments and your questions about today's topic of Beyond the Affair. Can you actually forgive the affair? 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644.
And you know what? I cannot find our Facebook page for some reason.
Oh, no. Weirdness. Okay.
That never happens. It's not there.
I know.
It's gone. Oh, there he goes. I found this.
Okay.
All right. Well, here's let me see if this is the one. All right. Let me just read it. It's a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to try to see what we can get from it. It says, good morning. I don't have the courage to call, but would like to get help with my situation. I would greatly appreciate my story being read anonymous. Absolutely no problem. All right. My husband had an affair, and I found out, and I believe I forgave him too fast and that there were no real consequences. A few months after the affair, he engaged in a full-fledged affair with another woman. Then he ended up taking her on a romantic vacation out of the country very shortly after my birthday. I can't describe the heartbreak, betrayal, and the pain that I've been going through. He left me 3 months later to be with her, and we have been separated ever since. I don't know why I still love him and why it's been so hard for me to finally give up on this marriage. He's come in and out of over the months, but he is still in a full relationship with her. I feel like such a failure, and my heart hurts so bad because I don't understand how I can say you love someone and treat them this way, the way he has. I have prayed and prayed to help and peace because most days are so hard just for me. He was my only family here, and he walked away from me like I meant nothing. I can by myself most days, and I just don't understand why he gets to live wonderful and free with no consequences for the way he treated his wife. And I could have... I guess, and there's so much there. I'm just going to cut that off for a minute. Mm. She's asking for prayers. But here's the thing. I want to encourage everyone out there listening. Don't stop God from working. Mm. And I'm going to say that again. There are consequences. There's a reason why we have consequences. King David committed sin. Mm-hmm. He slept with this woman, Bathsheba, and then he went and covered it up, had Uriah the Hittite, her husband, killed. Mm-hmm. And there were consequences, and God forgave him. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as we know, King David is in heaven. Mm-hmm. But we got to understand that there were still consequences. He lost the kingdom. His children were impacted by that. Mm-hmm. I mean, his life was never the same. Now, we don't need to play God, okay? That's the other thing. Resist the temptation from saying, well, I'm going to show my spouse and teach them a lesson. No, don't do that. Mm-hmm. But let God work, and by doing that, means you stand your ground. In this particular situation here on Facebook, why do you keep taking your husband back? Mm-hmm. He's with someone else, a full-fledged affair. He's told you, or you found out whatever happened, and then you go back and forth, and you let him come in and out. You are playing yourself at this point. Mm. You got to let God work. If he decides to leave, guess what? He'll end up with no wife. And Proverbs 5 shares that men like that will end up alone at the end of their life. Mm. That's what Proverbs 5 talks about. It says, at the end of your life, you will come to the brink of utter ruin. because you can't stay faithful and no one will be by your side. Mm-hmm. These other women you're with are not going to be by your side on the when you get old.
Right.
When you're all, you know, wrinkly and has been, you know, right now you might think you look good and people want to be with you, but later on in your life, mm-hmm. they will not.
And then what are you going to do, right? All right, so give us a call. We have a few more minutes, 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644. Let's go to line two and speak with an anonymous caller. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. You're live on the air. What's your comment?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I guess I want to share a little bit of my own personal testimony and just maybe get some direction on some things I'm still dealing with myself. I experienced infidelity in my marriage, my husband. I forgave my husband. But I realized that I still deal with, how can I say, after effects of the situation. I'm still working on trying to build the trust back in our marriage on my part.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question before you go to that. How long ago did this happen?
When I realized this situation was going on, I guess it was somewhere around 2004. It may have ended, and that I'm not even sure of.
What I mean by that is you were saying that you're still working through the situation. So how recent did this happen with the actual affair where you forgave him and you are trying to work things out? How recent is that?
Oh, I forgave him. It's been a couple of years now that I've forgiven him.
Wow.
Where I guess I'm trying to go with it is because there are times that I still get indications that something is still going on. Because my husband never said to me that he ended it, you know, or anything of that sort, you know. Now, I did notice some changes in his behavior. But there are still some behaviors there that indicate that something could possibly still be going on. And I struggle a lot of times in trusting his motives.
Okay. So here's what I want to get down to. It sounds like he hasn't repented. Because if he never owned up to it, he's never... there's still signs there, then why did you forgive him in the first place?
Because based on what the Word of God says, that we need to forgive. But not only that, what I realized that is I was in a lot of torment about this situation. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I told him that I forgave him that I experienced freedom from the situation.
Okay, and that's great. And you need to forgive. And I said that earlier. Forgiveness, it's in layers, right? You forgive, but that doesn't mean you have to go back to being the wife or fulfill your marital duty, right? You can get divorced after that affair. But you decided to forgive him and to take him back, right?
Mm-hmm. We never separated.
So was there ever a consequence for his infidelity with you?
There were times that I asked him to leave our home, and he might leave for, I think the longest period I may have asked him to leave was maybe about a month.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I believe there were no real consequences. Telling someone to take a few weeks off or sleep on the couch, that's not a consequence. The main consequence, let me clarify this because maybe I wasn't clear before. With the consequence, it's not just like punishment, right? What it is you have to live up to it and you have to own up. There has to be an opportunity for the man to get vulnerable, to get honest, to apologize, to make it up. I mean, look, I've never committed, and God forbid I ever commit adultery in my marriage. I love my wife, but I love God more, and I don't ever want to do that. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that I did. Mm-hmm. I would be on my knees begging for forgiveness. I mean, that is how serious that is. I would say I don't even deserve to have you back. And if she decided not to ever forgive me, then I would have to live with that. And it would break my heart. It would destroy my marriage, my life, everything. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be here sitting talking to you because I would feel like such a hypocrite, right? So there's a lot at stake. However, if it's just like a little slap on the wrist, if my wife just says, well, you know, sleep on the couch or I'm not taking you back, and there's no real consequence, then what would be the motivation for me to realize that what I did was so severe? Mm-hmm. And I believe, from what you shared, that there's really not an opportunity that you've allowed for your husband to own up, to repent, to change it, to embrace his sin.
Now, can I just interject there? Because I made it clear to him that I was holding him accountable for it.
Okay.
Now that, it's like, okay, because even at some point, I withdrew from being intimate with my husband. Like I heard the other lady sharing earlier, about how sometimes being intimate repulses her. And I still deal with that. But I know in my prayers, God helps me get past that. So that I can do as a wife what I need to do and not send him back out there, you know.
Okay, can I pause you for one moment, one more time?
Mm-hmm.
What if what you suspect is going on again?
Then I'm done with the marriage. I'm
okay. And I think, I hope and pray that you stand your ground, and if there is something, but even if there isn't, you need to confront it. Because you cannot have a healthy marriage when there's doubt. Mm-hmm. If you think he's doing so, and you need to confront, look, I don't trust you. You've done this before. These are the reasons why I think you might be doing it again. What in the world is going on? And confront it. You can't, just kind of tippy-toe against the situation, around the situation. Mm-hmm. All right, and we want to thank you. I hope and pray you make the right decision and really that God blesses your relationship moving forward.
And I just wanted to put out, even when I was going through this, I listened to your program a lot. And a lot of what I heard, I tried, I applied it as much as possible to the marriage. But thank you, Marco. Y'all doing a wonderful job. And I really appreciate, having a program like this that you can listen to and, just get some feedback and stuff from.
Amen. Amen. Well, you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And believe it or not, we're at the end of the program. We have to go, but I know you have your words of wisdom, Marco.
Yes, we do. We always have words of wisdom. And I think that's one of what I've been trying to say the whole show is let God work. There are times when it doesn't even have to do with infidelity. There are times where my wife and I feel like we want the other person to get it, learn the lesson, learn what God is trying to tell them. And we try to play God. We get in the way. And I want to encourage everyone out there who's listening to not play God. Let God do his thing. He's really good at what he does. We're not. And so whether it has to do with an affair, whether it has to do with deceit, whether it has to do with whatever, God doesn't need your help. What he needs is for you to step out of the way. Mm. Times, it might mean that there are consequences. If your spouse leaves, let them leave. Let them figure out what they really want and you stand your ground. Mm-hmm. Other times, it really does mean if you decide to forgive, that you totally forgive and you don't hold it against the other person. Whatever you do, get out of the way and let God work.
And there it is. Much love going out to Ron, our producer down in Charlotte, and of course our producer here in Philadelphia, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Thanks again for listening. We hope you will join us next Saturday at the same time. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.